It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And indeed, this program is live, and here we go, off and running on this sixth day of September 2023. This is the Horn HeadOn.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky's any real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe around. And whatever time it is when you happen to be listening to the podcast. And thank you, whether you listen live or whether you listen to the podcast, thank you for being part of this remarkable little community coming up on 20 years old. Thank you so very much indeed. If you are listening live and you happen to want to be part of the aforementioned Merry Wacky's any real-time madcap multimedia, etc., well, pop on over to HeadOn.live, pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you've never been there before. Click on chat room and you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Economist and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. Hey, y'all. And, well, hopefully a good time will be had by all. Hi, I'm Robin. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And I'm going to jump right into that in a minute, but I want to explain myself for a moment, if I may, and my absence. Because, generally speaking, I don't take days off. But I have these last couple of days. I took Labor Day off. Seemed appropriate. And I took yesterday off. Because, as I said in my social media post, I was both mentally and physically exhausted. We went down to see the kids in Tennessee, Annette and I did, on Sunday, and drove back Monday, gone a little over 24 hours. It was a bang-bang kind of trip. That was tiresome. But the fact of the matter is, I mentioned to y'all the issues, the sad fact of my dear friend Boss Man Wayne's having entered hospice. He's at home. I spent the better part of the day with him yesterday. We had lunch together and sat and talked over old times and laughed, and I have never seen a more profound portrait in courage and dignity and good humor in dealing with things coming to an end the way he is. He has some bouts of sadness. Who wouldn't? But we had an amazing good time just sitting and talking about all the things he's done, all the things he's accomplished. And I plan on going back frequently. We shared shared a Reuben sub yesterday. Because this one place, that, you know, the full thing is like 18 inches long. So we split half, and then he, and then I left the other half with him for snack for later. Because that proud son of Pittsburgh loves him some sauerkraut. That's for a fact. But the bottom line is that, especially more spiritually than physically, but emotionally, just drained, just wiped out. And so when I got back here, there was just nothing left in the tank. And, you know, all kidding aside, I know to some people it may just sound like it's a matter of opening up the microphone and starting to talk, but to do that for 3 hours takes a little bit of energy. It takes a lot of energy. And so we find ourselves beginning this, tomorrow will be the first full week of September. And we had September the 1st, and the 2nd and the 3rd were Saturday and Sunday. The 4th and the 5th were yesterday and today, or Monday and yesterday, rather. Let's not get addled this early, Robin. But that's okay. And I hope y'all will forgive the absence. It did me some good. It really did. It was quite helpful. Let me see here. Thank you, Tamara. Tamara says, glad you saw Boss Man Wayne, and I'm glad you're back. Thank you. So that being said, like I mentioned a minute ago, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and I could not be more thankful. So working in reverse order, thank you so much to our 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, and 2nd day of the month subscribers. Thank you to Joseph and Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to John. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you to Don in West Tennistan, and Michael, formerly of Madison, now in Chicago, and living life on the large. One point I saw where Michael said, I don't know why I didn't do this years ago. Thank you to Jessica, who has a note for us here in a moment. Thank you, Kevin, in Colorado Springs. Thank you, Kenda, in Missouri. Thank you to Jean and Ann across the pond. Thank you to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Jean and Ann, again. Thank you, John, Bill in Allentown. And thank you to Elizabeth. And thank you. Thank you all so very much for being, partial sponsors of the program. And thank you so much to Lori up in Michigan, who said, so sorry about Boss Man Wayne. Let's keep this program going for him. Take care. Thank you, Lori. Thank you to a kind internet friend, anonymous in nature, who made sure that we didn't fall further behind in my absence and did a have a show on me. Thank you. So that means we're caught up, as did Stephen. We are fully caught up. And so there's only, today's funding to be dealt with. That's fantastic. It's amazing. And just thank you to each and every one of you. It means the world. Well, thank you. Dave in the Blind said, girl, there's nothing to apologize for. I'm glad you got to see Boss Man Wayne. Remember, taking care of yourself is the first step to taking care of others. We missed you, and we're glad you're back. By the way, Christine says hi. She was a little worried about you. Talk to you in a bit. Dave in the Blind. All good, Christine. All good. Just, I've realized that I needed to engage in a little bit of what is generally referred to as self-care. And self-care meant not trying to basically, as I often do, just drive myself into a ditch. Here with summer coming to an end. Empty lake, empty sea, the sun goes down alone. I'm driving by your house, and although I know you're not home. Oh, dear God, it's true. I'm running around listening to Don Henley's The Boys of Summer. But I'll be okay. I hope we all will be. And for some reason, and I think the really good weather, we're going to take a break in that because it's been heavenly. Blue skies, warm sun. Actually felt... I think I may have worked on a couple of freckles yesterday. I felt some. I ran up to the Wiggling Pig, and just had a tank top on, and actually felt a couple of freckles on my shoulders warming up, and that was nice. And I did, since this is the first show back since Friday, I'll go ahead and mention that I need to keep my mouth shut about some things. The first thing I saw when I woke up Saturday morning, and some people, you know, whatever, I don't care. But I've been a parrot head. Oh, Lord, since freshman year of high school? I think Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes, Jimmy Buffett came out, right around my freshman year in high school. And something just clicked. And so I got up Saturday morning to the sad, sad news that he had checked out. And it hit harder than I expected it to. I didn't realize he had been suffering from terminal cancer. He had a melanoma that I guess went systemic and turned into a rare form of lymphoma, and he lost that battle. So on the way down to Tennessee and on the way back up, listened to a lot of Jimmy Buffett. But you might recall that the week prior, or maybe the week before that, whenever the news came out that Alice Cooper had decided to unburden himself of his own deep and abiding, and it's always humorous, it seems to be the tired old rock and rollers who ran around with makeup on their faces. He who used to go on stage with makeup and eyeliner literally running down his face decided to unburden himself of his transphobia, thus telling everyone who he really is. And having dealt with that, and then the week previous with finding out that Santana is a transphobe, and what I muttered glibly off the cuff that evening was, "Oh, what are you gonna? Who's next? Jimmy Buffett? I don't think I can stand that." The first thing I thought about when I saw the news this past Saturday morning. And I knew a little bit about how our beloved Billable Rick must have felt after he saw Tom Petty, and then Tom Petty, as the saying goes, up and died. Yo! Just, yeah! So, I will try to moderate my mental powers. But one of the things, Jimmy Buffett never came out as transphobia, and in fact, when he passed, in lieu of flowers, the family asked for contributions to be made to Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and to MD Anderson Cancer Center in Texas, and a couple of environmental conservation causes. And that was inspiring. Very much inspiring, because Brigham and Women's Hospital is very much involved in care for women. And if I'm not mistaken, there is a gender clinic there. Yeah. And then I got to reflecting on the impressive number of songs that he wrote about women. And they weren't of the, you know, not to say that it's a bad thing, but, you know, she shook me all night long, AC/DC, anthem, which, for as much as it rocks, it turns out is a love song. No, they're very sensitive songs, very touching songs. And overall, when he wrote, even when he wrote about people down on their luck, he did so with tremendous compassion. And even in writing about his own life, he did so with a real common man's decent touch. Yeah, Lou points out Forbes estimated Buffett was worth $1 billion. I guess it runs in the Buffett family. Cousin Warren could have bought Jimmy for what he was worth and given it away and never missed the money. Yeah, his empire started in the mid '80s when he was. I saw an interview and he said, "I was walking around seeing people wearing Jimmy Buffett T-shirts and my name wasn't even spelled right, so we decided we could at least take control of that." And Margarita comes up out of that, and selling Lost Shakers of Salt, and Hawaiian Aloha shirts, and T-shirts, and next thing you know, you got a lot of money. But he also shared it around pretty prolifically. And he passed away on Friday at his home in Sag Harbor, Long Island, New York. So, you know, fair winds and following seas, Jimmy Buffett. That sounds rough. Randy Radar says, I'm roasting. 97 degrees Fahrenheit on the back porch today, trying not to break the AC, so it was 77 degrees inside. Well, here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and it's a huge plate glass south and west-facing windows, It's a bikini radio, 82 degrees. So, yeah, that. Hydrate, Gatorade, do what you got to do, Randy. Dealt with some, yeah, and that's the other thing. I dealt with some dehydration, and I drank a lot of water. And somehow or another managed to get dehydrated. And that'll sap you. But anyway, that's just everything that's been going on since last we talked on Friday on the front porch on the first day of September. I don't see any interruptions to the schedule. Let me just check before I jinx myself. Now, I don't see any interruptions to the schedule in the next... I won't be taking Yom Kippur off. Let's see. I don't see any interruptions in the schedule up until something like maybe Wednesday the 27th of the month. So we should just be cruising right through. There will probably be another trip to Tennessee in the offing, not too terribly distant, because, well, we managed to take Tilly the Wonder Dog down to Ferg and his beloved and the girls. And now we have to take Sonic the Wonder Bird down there as well. Fortunately, there are no fish. And that's the other thing. I hadn't seen my June bug in about a month. And so I walked in, and I'd love to show you all, but the parents, Berg and my dear daughter-in-law, wisely prefer to keep their little ones off of social media, and that's certainly nothing that I disagree with. But Junebug had her back to me when I walked in. She was busy doing something, because, you know, when you're 15 months old, you really tend to get lost in things. And I knelt down by her playpen, and she's walking. Oh, she's walking. Walks everywhere she goes. Screw all that crawling. And I knelt down by the playpen, and I said, "Junebug!" And I promise you, she turned around and looked at me in those big blue eyes and said, "Hey!" Oh! And her mama and Annette both went, "That was a word!" And it was. "Hey!" And I said, "Hey!" And she smiled with that big old mouth full of teeth. Born with a full set of teeth, just like a beaver. No. She's cutting some molars now, and it's kind of miserable, but I picked her up, and she grabbed me around the neck and then tried to take my butterfly necklace from me, and no, you can't. But it was terribly, terribly sweet. And, of course, my next granddaughter is on the way in November. Now, that might be an interruption to the schedule, and we're trying to sort that out, Annette and I. Might just have to pack up the rig and take it with, because we're not going to... We're going to do everything in our power not to miss the birth of our next grandbaby. And she is due, I think... actually, she's due on the same date that's the second anniversary of my surgery, so she's due on the 9th day of November, our daughter-in-law is. And we'll try to go down there a couple of days early. Hopefully I'll be able to afford a few nights in a hotel and make sure everything happens as it's supposed to. Not that I'm going to be barking orders or anything. We're excited about that. Lou says, "Tell the Tom Petty fans I saw Tom and Company, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, in 1978 as the warm-up act for Rush at the Tower in Philly." Oh my goodness gracious! That would have been just as Damn the Torpedoes was hitting, or maybe a little bit before that, wouldn't it, Lou? That must have been a heck of a show. And I mentioned the Boys of Summer and Don Henley. And Mike Campbell of the Heartbreakers offered it to Tom Petty first. And he took a pass, and Don Henley turned it into a smash. Hey, Irish Dave. You're there in the chat room because, well, by God, we'd be heartbroken if you weren't. Now, what's that? Emilio says, "People we didn't know were transphobic. RuPaul, Lady Gaga, Madonna, Dylan Mulvaney, not Snoopy, but surprisingly Woodstock and Elmo. It's funny because it's not true." Well, hold up, Emilio. This is more like one of those, tell me which one is true lists. Because RuPaul is transphobic as hell. Someone once asked RuPaul, what's the difference between a trans woman and a drag queen? And he glibly said, about $20,000 worth of surgery. Yeah. But this is actually a political, social commentary kind of program, right? Yeah. And not only that, it's Wednesday. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. And so, make no mistake, the little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men and little old blue-haired non-binaries of the Fellowship Hall kitchen of the Cathedral of Common Sense were quite busy today. There was a big pan of homemade mac and cheese. Rough on my carb numbers, but you know, sometimes we can just have a cheat day and snort a couple of rails of extra metformin and hope for the best. And a cool green salad with some strawberries sliced in it and champagne vinaigrette. We try to keep them out of the champagne, but heck, sometimes they're not so good at it. It was a cheesy kind of Fellowship Hall meal because, well, there were grilled cheese sandwiches, too. Melty and yummy. And the nasty little secret. If you smear the outside of the grilled cheese with a little bit of mayonnaise, they brown up beautifully. Yeah. And whatever cheese you like. And then there was a big old strawberry shortcake. Trifle. The deacons hit that with a will. And then having filled their bellies, they climbed the couple of flights of stairs. They were huffing and puffing till they got out to the parking lot where they were set to hotbox and chain-smoking cigarettes with the sinners. A couple of waves of the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod, and now they begun to trundle. And as we all know from that physics, bodies in trundle tend to remain in trundle. And they trundled past me, through the vestibule, past it, desiccating bowl of buttermints, took a couple of shots of hand sanitizer just to... And I mean, I don't mean for hand sanitizing. They were doing it prophylactically. We love deacons, so we haven't replaced it with ivermectin or anything. Or, you know, pee. I think even the deacons would notice that. But they're down front, and they're waiting to pass the plates, the heavy brass-bound, velvet-lined collection plates with the PayPal button in the bottom. And so as they move among the congregation, I'll call the Minister of Music forward. Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, huts up, Ralston on the Rillabrah and the Brawlabrah, Suet, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren. Welcome, one and all. I'm calling on you to get up off your seats and onto your feet and scrunching, scrunching, wiggling, waggling, waddling. Come out from betwixt the pews without pewing anybody. And come on down that blood red aisle and fall. Fall, sinners, fall upon your knees at the altar and feel how glory the healing rays of common sense are flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Naughty Nun, Ambitious Abbess, Robin Kincaid. And this here is the Cathedral Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Ho! Glory. And we have a story to get things started this evening. We will deal, amen, glory. We will deal, praise His holy name. We will deal with the evils of the secular world in its due time, but we must deal with, because it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the ongoing persecution of God's children. Help! And by children, I mean youth ministers, who in turn are persecuting children. Yes, it is the faith that passeth all understanding and the love that dare not speak its name. I wish these creeps would just, you know, go get a real boyfriend or something, but no. No, we have here the story of Austin Ray, that's Ray with a W, as in Fay Ray, Austin Ray Perkins. Mm-hmm. He got stung back in March of 2022 in Floyd County, Georgia, and now he has been sentenced, Christianity likes to put it, persecuted. He's been sentenced to 40 years in the joint in Georgia. Please, Jesus, let Nitwit Nero get at least that. Now, this is horrifying, and I'll just say at the outset, because said it before, but it's worth saying again. Why? Why on God's green earth would any parent ever let their child near a church? Of course, this fits nicely in with my ongoing query. Why would any woman have anything to do with any of the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Islam, or Christianity? But children, what happened, and by the way, this is within marginal Trailer Queens district. You'll never hear it. I'm sure you won't hear anything about this through, her podcast or anything. 26-year-old Austin Ray Perkins was, in fact, a groomer. and entered a plea to one count of felony child molestation and one count of felony sexual exploitation of children. They both have a 20-year prison term. And each charge has a 5-year mandatory minimum sentence. He hasn't been sentenced yet, but he's pleaded. He's pled. And this act of Christianity is absolutely repulsive. I mean trigger warning, content warning, y'all. This is so gross. A child. Back up. Back in March of 2022, he was the youth minister at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. Amen. And a child came to him. A little boy. And Austin Ray Perkins took the child in. The child had no family, no support from anyone else. And this young man of God immediately set about sexually molesting him over and over and over again. And then, because, well, you know, he wanted to direct. Then he taught the boy how to act in sexually explicit videos. Again, all at the same time that he was the youth minister at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. Having entered his pleas, he's now been shipped off for a psychosexual evaluation, and he will be returned for sentencing once the court gets the report. It was quite the sting. Federal, state, and local law enforcement took down 6 other perverts and groomers at the same time. Might note that none of them were gay, none of them were trans, just for the record. But, well, faith in action, y'all. It's probably too much to hope that the judge will sentence Austin Ray Perkins to 2 consecutive 20-year prison sentences so that he will be 66 when he gets out of the joint. If he lives that long. But we know he's going to spend at least 5 years. 5 years. On the other hand, the child will spend the rest of his life dealing with the fallout from this. And I wonder how the folks at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church feel about this. I can guarantee you I know part of how they feel about this. They picked up the phone and they called their insurance carrier and said, Zed, we've got a perv. I haven't seen anything about in the write-up about them asking for the youth minister to be prayed for after he prayed on that poor child. Jesus. Apparently, they seized 5 terabytes of data, possibly millions of files of child pornography. Good God. Oh, well. Thank heavens that the First Amendment is a life support system for the religion industry, right? But speaking of court cases, we had the sentencing yesterday of Enrique Tarrio. I checked in on my filthy morning habit this morning, and they were all a-titters with saying things like, Enrique Tarrio received the harshest sentence yet for any of the January 6th insurrectionists. He wasn't even there in D.C., but he sat in a hotel room in Baltimore and directed all the action. Judge Timothy Kelly gave him 22 years. The government asked for 33. It's probably good to remember that U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly owes his position on the bench, well, to the Federalist Society, but directly to the man who ginned up the insurrection. And so while all and sundry were breathless at the 22-year federal prison sentence, none were pointing out that it was fully one-third less than what the Department of Justice had sought. So that means that if he serves every day of it, he'll be out when he's like 50-ish, Enrique Tarrio. And that's, you know, that's plenty of time to work on a brand new insurrection, isn't it? If we haven't already had a couple more by then. And the write-ups were also notably lacking in details about whether, in fact, the judge said anything about why he didn't give him the whole 33. But in regard to the 22-year prison sentence, man desperately in need of a swirly and a wedgie, Wee-Weck Ramaswamy, declared that the 22-year sentence for Enrique Tarrio was, this is wrong. He shitted over on Shitter. It's sad that I'm the only candidate with the spine to say it. It's wrong. And I guess people are eating that shit up. At his sentencing, Enrique Tarrio begged for mercy. And he said it was a national embarrassment. Yeah, the only thing that embarrassed Enrique Tarrio was the fact that he didn't manage to overturn constitutional governance in the United States. And then, of course, there's also always um, marginal trailer queen. Because, of course, she couldn't keep her dumb gob shut. In regard to the sentencing, she said, well, what's the point in being a good guy? Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out who the good guy is. God. Why is that woman in the Congress? Well, because of the people who inhabit the 13th Congressional District of Georgia. Over at The View, they didn't seem to have any problem sorting out how ugly and dangerous the Proud Boys are. No. The various hosts of The View noting, Sonny Hostin, who used to be a federal prosecutor, said, this is a government strategy, right? If you identified far right-wing groups or a group that's causing this country a lot of problems, you try to cut the head of the snake off. So by cutting off all the leaders and imprisoning them, you hope the organization dies. Joy Behar said, isn't Trump the head of the snake? Sonny Hostin said, he's the head of the snake, but this is another snake. These are the little snakes. But I've noticed, and reporters have noticed, that instead of working federally, now they're going into local communities, and they're stirring up issues with the LGBTQ community and with black folks. The Proud Boys in particular are working on black history, and they're working at a local level. So the government cutting off the head of the snake theory that we've used for years and years and years, I just don't know if it works with right-wing militia groups. And I guess she and I are kind of on the same page where that's concerned. Because I was talking just about last week about, you know, if you really don't want to have Nazis in your midst, you kind of have to start bashing in some doors and taking down some Nazis. And that, you know, they get it. They get it. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't marginal trailer queen. I got my right wing idiots mixed up. No, it was the washed up half term half wit former governor of Alaska. You know, Godzilla from Wasilla. It was Sarah Palin, who showed up to talk to Eric Bolling on, I guess what, Newsmuck. Yeah.
Oh, disheartening, the examples that you've given, Eric. It makes the populace lose a lot of faith in our government, and that's an understatement. Unfortunately, what this leads to, when we recognize the examples that you just gave, the two-tier different justice systems that apply according to politics, it makes the good guy think, what's the use in being a good guy? What? We're going to be punished. You know, we're picked on is what we are under the sea.
You know, she's not entirely wrong. I mean, if I was a federal prosecutor who had just tried to put a dangerous traitor, a dangerous insurrectionist, a dangerous domestic terrorist away for 33 years, and the maggot judge I was practicing in front of gave him 2/3 of that, 22 years. Yeah, what's the point in being a good guy? Oh, but wait—that's not the good guy that Caribou Barbie had in mind. Two-tiered justice systems? Does she just get liquored up and say things? Is that what's going on here?
System. But we can't feel helpless and hopeless. We have to remember that we have three equal branches of government, right? And Congress has a lot to do with what's going on in the judiciary. Congress can't keep sitting back, especially Republicans in the majority in some of these areas. Eric, they can't sit back and just let all of this happen, because it is dismantling of our traditional judicial system, where Lady Liberty and Lady Justice, she's to be blind, right? And politics are not to have anything to do with this. So we need to pressure Congress, our representatives, and remind them that they do have tools. The Constitution has empowered them to be equal to what's going on in the judiciary, and they need to exercise that.
I guess she hasn't heard from Sammy Bad Breath now, has she? Maybe she's not on the email list from Har Har and Lee Lee. You know, the Congress has no ability, no constitutional right to regulate the Supreme Court, period. That one.
That power, or we're going under, Eric. It's tragic. It's more than disheartening what's going on.
Oh, it's tragic. It's tragic, Caribou Barbie. She is. She's an idiot. But she knows she's babbling bullshit. By the way, Enrique Tarrio said, I failed my family. Now, somebody get Jimmy Swaggart to tickle the ivories. I have sinned against you. Standing before you today, Your Honor, I feel I failed as a brother, a fiancé, a nephew. As a son, I will always regret making decisions that did not put them first. I've taken care of my grandfather for most of my life, and now I've failed him. Were you taking care of him when you were in that hotel room in Baltimore directing all of this, Enrique?
I failed him.
Really? And so, back during his trial, Connor Mulroe, the U.S. attorney, said, the Proud Boys were lined up behind Donald Trump and willing to commit violence on his behalf. These defendants saw themselves as Donald Trump's army fighting to keep their preferred leader in power, no matter what the law or the courts had to say about it. Now, Judge Kelly, the MAGAT appointee, said there were strategic purposes to Enrique Tarrio being in Baltimore, not in D.C. It allowed his lieutenants to rile up the crowd, and it did, from his perspective, insulate him in just the way he's arguing now, distanced himself from what, in fact, unfolded that day. That's useful to someone as smart as Mr. Tarrio. Oh, kiss his ass, Judge, of course, because you share the same philosophy as he does. And then before the day was out, publicly putting on social media, I'm proud of my boys and my country, and don't fucking leave. Of course, the pettifogger for Tarrio, Norm Pattis, and others,
said, yeah, but, Your Honor, you know, he's got a history. I mean, Enrique Tarrio has been a snitch in the past. He was a snitch in 2012 and worked with the law enforcement.
You know, 9 years before the terrorist attack of January 6th. See, this is, and I'm sorry I keep coming back to, no, I'm not. This is why we desperately need, and maybe all of this will finally prove the case. Who am I kidding? This is why we desperately need to have cameras in federal courts. It's not hard. It's not technically that challenging. And actually finding out, you know, without going burrowing through and trying to find the transcript of the proceedings, you can't know exactly what the judge said. You can only know what reporters scribbled in their notebooks and then ran out to thumb into their phones afterward. Remember the old movie scenes of reporters running out of courtrooms and putting the earpiece against their ears and shouting into the end of the microphone box and saying, "Stop the presses!" And or yelling to a telegrapher. We're basically still doing that here in the fourth year of the third decade of the 21st century. We've got everything but Moe and Larry and Curly with their three, wearing their fedoras with the press, and, you know, Curly ran into the men's room and stole the button that said pull. That's where we are. If there's any question as to why people don't trust the federal judiciary, this has a lot to do with it. What? Matt in San Francisco, the Lady Justice is blonde, so she's bad at parking. I resemble that remark. No, I don't, actually. I'm one of the better parallel parkers out there, I'll have you know. She's bad at parking. Okay. First cowbell of the evening goes to Matt. Two systems of justice, Dave in South Carolina, Stan says. Yeah, two systems of justice, reality winner and Donald Trump. You are so right, David. Rhodes Scholar Sarah Palin, Emilio asked. She has a relative, not an honorary degree. The degree was given to given relative to MTG's larger horribleness. Okay, that's quality. All things are relative. All relatives are things. My relatives took all my things. Caribou Barbie knows she's babbling bullshit, Stephen New York asks. Are you sure? I could probably be argued out of it. This is one of those where I won't even manage to take my own side in a fight. Meanwhile, you know, we had the story out of Floyd County, Georgia. Let's pop into Fulton County, shall we? Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee said today that he was really very skeptical, those were his words, very skeptical of District Attorney Fani Willis's claim that she wanted to try the rest of the defendants in the RICO indictments together on October 23rd, but he said he'd hear more arguments. I'm willing to hear what you have to say on it. But, on the other hand, he did say, yeah, by God, Kenneth Cheesebro and Squidney Powell, y'all filed speedy trial demands and motions to sever your cases from the other defendants. He also moved to sever your cases from each other. You're not going to get that. But by God, you're going to get your speedy trial. And interestingly, people actually got to watch these proceedings if they so desired. because as bizarre as it may sound, son of a gun, the state of Georgia is more interested in judicial transparency than the Supreme Court of the United States, the U.S. Circuit Courts of Appeal, or the U.S. District Courts, where the trials actually take place. So Kenneth Cheesebro and the Kraken lawyer, Squidney Powell, see, Kraken, squid, see what I did there? Don't try this at home. Yeah, they're going to trial on October the 23rd. So let's see, this is 6, it's 24, 26, 47 days. Also during the hearing, the prosecution informed Judge McAfee that they anticipate a 4-month trial. That's for the state to put on its case in chief. That also does not include jury selection, which I am absolutely certain Nitwit Nero's pettifogger will do all he can to completely make a hash of. The state went on to say, Your Honor, it's going to take that long because we got about 150 witnesses. Because it's not like it's a close case. They're going to hammer Nitwit Nero and hammer him and hammer him and hammer him. And even if he gets to the point where he's a puddle on the floor, they're going to keep hammering him as justice demands. Now, Fonnie Willis sent one of her career prosecutors, Nathan Wade, to argue the case, and he told Judge McAfee, listen, if Cheesebro and Powell were tried separately, it would still absolutely require the same amount of time and the same number of witnesses to try the case because they have to prove the whole conspiracy. So the court, in the interest of judicial economy, would have to make the decision as to whether or not the court wants to try the case 19 times. I'm sure Judge McAfee just loved that. Meanwhile, Kenneth Cheesebro, who looks like, remember, his mugshot looks like Mr. Rogers on fentanyl. He said, well, Scott Grubman, that's his pettifogger, Scott Grubman, said, well, he was only in part of the conspiracy that's been alleged. Mr. Cheesebro is only concerned in terms of the evidence or allegations with what I'm going to call the alternate elector alleged conspiracy. And went on to whine, why should Mr. Cheesebro have to deal with a jury who's going to sit there for weeks, if not months, and listen to all of this evidence related to Coffee County and Miss Powell? He's never been there. He's never met Miss Powell. He's never emailed or called her. Fulton County Deputy District Attorney Will Wooten said, the state's position is that whether we have one trial or 19 trials, the evidence is exactly the same.
I'd like to be the 19th trial. I'd like that a lot. You know, sometime, like maybe 40 years after I'm dead, could we do that? I'd like that.
So we will get at least a preview of all of the evidence on October 23rd. Well, not on October 23rd, after jury selection. And I hope Judge McAfee lands on the correct decision. Try them all. Let God and the jury sort them out. So this was kind of a creepy day for Nitwit Nero, but it was even shittier up in New York. Oh, Lord, yes. The judge there, and this, well, thank you, Ralphs. I like how you say his name, Cheese Bro. Why, that's C-H-E-S-E-B-R-O. I guess he's trying to say now that his name's Chesbro. Really, trial files. That's like the ongoing badminton game of how to pronounce Monkey Up's last name. Is it DeSantis or DeSantis? It's DeClantis. DeClantis. Happy to help. Now, there's a legal concept called res judicata. In no wise related to the delicious Italian dish, chicken piccata. I don't know where that came from. Res judicata says if something has been judged and found to be factual, we're not going to make that inquiry twice. And this came into play today in regard to the second case that E. Jean Carroll brought against Nitwit Nero, having already gotten a whopping jury verdict from him. And U.S. District Court Judge Lewis Kaplan found that the nature of her claims in the next lawsuit are basically the same defamation claims that she made previously in the previous trial and which a jury had already determined were defamatory by a preponderance of the evidence. And so in that ruling, Judge Kaplan said, we're going to have another trial. But all we're going to try are damages. Now, it's a civil suit, so Nitwit Nero doesn't have to be there. And he won't, because he's a chicken shit. He's already been determined by a jury to have sexually abused E. Jean Carroll. The jury couldn't quite decide if it was rape or sexual abuse because E. Jean Carroll couldn't tell if it was his tiny todger or his stubby little finger. So when the trial comes around this time, it'll just be as to damages. It'll just be a matter of asking a jury, well, how much do you want to give her this time? You have to give her money this time because, well, he's already been proven to have done what he did. The trial's slated for January of this coming year, and Judge Kaplan said the trial shall be limited to the issue of damages only. And then said, no. He told Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers, we are not going to reduce any damages award by the $5 million that a jury has already given her. That is spent money. This is going to be fresh money. Enter counsel for the parking garage, Alina Habana 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 Habana, who said, we remain very confident that the Carroll 2 verdict will be overturned on appeal, which will render this decision moot. We also anticipate that the Second Circuit will stay this trial as it considers the meritorious defenses that have been raised by President Trump. You know, he pays me extra to call him President Trump. Happy birthday, Mr. President. They wouldn't let me borrow the dress, damn it. It's probably too big anyway. Marilyn was a fatty. The story comes from NBC News. Let's find out what readers of NBC News think. Do you think former President Trump should or should not be found liable for the defamation in the upcoming E. Jean Carroll case? 77% definitely should be. Now, I don't even know if that's 77 people or 77,000. 2%, that probably. 3% probably should not be. 17% pulled the toenail clippings out from betwixt their teeth and said, definitely should not be. 1% wanted to get onto the next screen. I was like I said, it was
so much losing, so much losing. I'm sick of all the losing.
Because via Reuters and Andrew Godsword, news has arrived that, and we really do need the old theme song to Rawhide. Rolling, 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 keep them witnesses rolling, keep them witnesses rolling, Trump's hide. No singing, Robin. Stanley Woodward, a pettifogger for Waltine Nautah, found himself in court because, well, he's all conflicted out. And the special prosecutor, Jack Smith, his office, said, yeah, well, it's not going to be necessary for us to prosecute this witness because, we've reached an agreement whereby he will testify against Mr. Trump. Now, there was apparently no merry cackling or anything. And prosecutors had backed pettifogger Stanley Woodward into a corner because he was... he's paid maggot money to represent Nautah and De Oliveira and, at the time, Tavares. But he said, we won't need to have a hearing because that witness has decided to turn state's evidence. And Yassel Tavares is the IT guy down at Mag-a-Loco. And he was the one who was tasked by the boss. It's the boss and he wants you to scrub the cameras. And Tavares had initially lied to the FBI. And said he didn't know anything about any obstruction of justice. And then Jack Smith's office wrote him a letter and said, Nitwit Nero's going to throw you under a bus or an entire string of buses. You're going to be nothing but a series of tire prints. And we're going to prosecute you, and we're going to put you in prison because we got you dead to rights. And all of a sudden, and then suddenly, Tavares decided he didn't want his maggot lawyer after all, which is not the first time that's happened. You'll recall that Cassidy Hutchinson had a sudden onset of a burning desire to tell the truth after she fired her maggot lawyer. Yet meanwhile, Stanley Woodward, desperately trying to preserve maybe his standing or maybe his law license, said, oh, that's not how it went down. No,
He testified. He gave new testimony to the grand jury after the special counsel's office gave him a non-prosecution deal, and they only got that after I didn't represent him anymore, which is another way of saying after I was fired. Uh-huh. And there was a story earlier today also coming out of the MAGA Loco business. Saying that it got to the point where the lawyers were just like, we can't tell him all of this. We can't tell him. We can't tell him what the special counsel... Well, actually, this was back when they were just trying to get the documents back. We can't tell him they're going to come with a warrant because he'll go bananas. He'll go apeshit. He'll lose his mind. How they could tell, I don't know. But it presents the picture of a guy who's less and less and less connected to reality. I mean, he, of all the people, he lost his shit on Anthrax Coulter today. Claiming that she's not kissing his ass because she's not socially connected to the maggots.
Ann Coulter, the washed-up political pundit who predicted my win in 2016, then went unbearably crazy with her demands, leave me, and wanting to be part of everything, to the consternation of all. This is obviously not something that he actually wrote because it involves the word consternation. That's four syllables. Has gone hostile and angry with every bit of her very nervous energy. Like many others, I just didn't want her around. She wasn't worth the trouble. Has been Ann Coulter is a stone-cold loser.
He's down to mean tweeting at a has-been right-wing pundit. Now, it is interesting that the first so-called serious lawsuit based on the 14th Amendment to get Nitwit Nero off the ballot has been filed. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, CREW, described by the Associated Press as a liberal group. I'm so old I can remember when they weren't liberal. They are backing some individual plaintiffs, some independents and Republicans, no Democrats, who are suing in Denver to bar Nitwit Nero from appearing on the presidential ballot in Colorado. It will probably wind up at the Supreme Court. And it's the first case brought by a quote-unquote serious group or an organization with significant legal resources. The Secretary of State of Colorado, Democrat Jenna Griswold, issued a statement saying, well, we hope this case will provide guidance to election officials on Trump's eligibility as a candidate for office. The 14th Amendment has that insurrection clause. It has been used since the Civil War. CREW asked the court to fast-track the trial so that it can be
sorted out before January 5th, 2024, which is the date at which point Colorado's primary ballot has to be finalized. Now, bear in mind that a county commissioner in New Mexico within the last year was barred from appearing on the ballot because he entered the Capitol on January the 6th. New Mexico County Commissioner, what was his name? Coy Griffin. Also the founder, in addition to being a county commissioner, the founder of Cowboys for Trump, Giddy Up. And he's still not on the ballot. The law was, the 14th Amendment was used in 1919 to bounce a socialist who won a seat in Congress, claiming that he had given aid and comfort to the enemies of the United States during World War I. So it bears watching. But the important thing here is that there are TV legal scholars who say that the case is solid. Among other people, probably the single greatest constitutional scholar in the United States, Lawrence Tribe, tweeted that the case in Denver is the strongest he's so far seen. There are other cases pending in Arizona, Michigan, and New Hampshire. Lawrence Tribe said, this is the strongest of the suits filed to compel secretaries of state to apply the 14th Amendment's disqualification clause to Trump. The six plaintiffs clearly have standing under Colorado law, and ironclad legal and factual research backs up their complaint. And Tribe, along with former federal judge and a right-wing one at that, J. Michael Luttig, wrote for The Atlantic, explained how the whole thing works, and that the fact that Nitwit Nero engaged in an insurrection or rebellion against the same, the Constitution, or gave aid and comfort to the enemies thereof.
Fight like hell.
And the funny thing about the 14th Amendment, it does have an escape clause, but it requires a vote of 2/3 of Congress, both houses. The only other thing is the Supreme Court just giving him a pass. Former Colorado House and Senate Majority Leader Norma Anderson, in the release from Crew, said, spending 19 years as a state legislator and serving in leadership gave me the opportunity to work across the aisle and to always work to protect the freedoms of our Constitution has given us as citizens. I'm proud to continue that work by bringing this lawsuit and ensuring the eligibility of candidates on Colorado ballots. And therein lies the rub. Politics versus the Constitution. Our best bet may be Trump as the nominee. Independents, he's hemorrhaging independents, he's even losing Republicans. and there could be a downstream negative coattails effect with people like old Don Bacon, a Republican, feeling the heat. He serves a district that Joe Biden won handily. Kevin Buck. Kevin Buck. It's the same story. But if this turns out to be settled law, there could be 150 more cases brought against people like Marginal Trailer Queen, against Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, against Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar, the demon desert, a demon dentist of the desert. But they're already rattling the sabers. This being prayer meeting Wednesday. Why, look. It's a former presidential candidate and Arkansas governor and pastor, brother, minister, reverend, and phony diabetes cure salesman, Mike Huckstaby, you know, Jethreen Bodine's daddy. Great job parenting, Mike. He's got a show now over on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. It's gross. And so, speaking to those good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans, well, he's getting perilously close to calling for another armed insurrection. y'all, they're still doing it. It's not they're going to do it again. Y'all, they're still doing it.
Do you know how political opponents to those in power are dealt with in third world dictatorships, banana republics, and communist regimes?
Oh, Lordy,
well,
Mike.
It's simple. The people in power use their police agencies to arrest their opponents for made-up crimes.
I said, oh, Lordy, Mike, because he looks like he's in about a 56 short suit coat. Not fat shaming, but, well, kind of looks like he might be on the metformin, too. Or maybe cinnamon.
In an attempt to discredit them, bankrupt them, imprison them, exile them, are all of the above. And if you're not paying attention...
Yeah, remember, if you're not paying attention, he used to have a gig on Fox. Yeah, maybe he's another one of those who... part of the reason Rupee's paying out over $1 billion and yet more. Ill.
You may not realize that Joe Biden is using exactly those tactics to make sure that Donald Trump is not his opponent in 2024.
Yeah, that's right, Emery. That Joe Biden, you know, he's senile, and he's scared to death of Donald Trump because Donald Trump's such a man's man. You stop talking about him like that, Marvelline. We've talked about this. It's not Christian or godly the way that you get yourself all worked up over Donald Trump. I agree. He's God's anointed on earth, but that doesn't... That does not forgive the lust that is pretty obvious you have in your heart for him, Marvelline.
Now, folks, this kind of thuggery at taxpayer expense isn't supposed to happen in the United States. No, we're supposed to be a nation of laws and not a nation of powerful people. But the Biden administration is in full meltdown mode to hide the money laundering, influence peddling, and outright bribery that Joe, his son Hunter, and their associates have been conducting for well over a decade.
Prove it. No, really. Prove it. Hunter Biden's a private citizen, dipshit. Prove it. Bring out your documents. Lay them all out. Wait, you don't have any.
That has enriched them to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. It's been exposed by numerous sources, ranging from former business associates who knew firsthand of the corruption, as well as government whistleblowers.
Why aren't you interviewing them on your Trinity Broadcasting TV program, Mike Huckstorby? Because they only exist in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between your ears and pass for brains. I know. But you have to consider who the shut-ins that he's broadcasting to there at Trinity. As he leans into the camera and uses his best Southern Baptist preacher persuasive style. Can you imagine this guy used to stand in a pulpit and preach about the saving grace of Christ Jesus? Ah, that ship sailed and sunk.
Who came forward after witnessing the so-called Justice Department, the IRS, the FBI, and the
so-called Justice Department. I love it. Hey, by the way, all those business deals for millions of dollars. While you're at it, Mike, let's talk about Precious Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner's big-time multi-million dollar casket-making deal in China. And the shoe deals and the dress deals and the... I don't know if she's moved in on Gwyneth Paltrow's jade egg deal or not, but there's probably a Chinese knockoff to be had.
The attorney general himself all conspiring to hide the Biden family crimes, while all the time being obsessed with charging Donald Trump with crimes that even liberal, Democrat, and never Trumper constitutional scholars such as Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley assert.
Holy shit, when did Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley become leftist liberal lawyers? That's a mighty fluid definition, that leftist liberal, ain't it?
Are not even crimes at all. In fact, they and other objective legal scholars are appalled by the attempt to smear Trump at any cost.
Objectives do it a lot of work
members
there.
Of the Biden team feverishly try to destroy Trump in the courthouse rather than at the ballot box. Here's the problem. If these tactics end up working to keep Trump from winning or even running in 2024, it is going to be the last American election that will be decided by ballots rather than bullets.
And there it is.
I know that there are a dozen or so other Republican candidates.
There it is. Decided by ballots rather than bullets. Who's going to bring the bullets, Mike? Because it ain't going to be us. Yeah, there's those numerous sources, Emilio pointing out. Numerous sources ranging from Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, to 4chan, to NaziScum.net, to that guy injecting bath salts around the corner as I drive in at night. Or the guy out in the yard walking around with onions in his socks and drinking pee-pee and scrubbing his gums with wombat antifungal. Numerous sources, Mike, numerous sources, but I want to know. The last election decided by ballots instead of bullets? Sounds like he needs a visit from maybe the FBI? Not so sure I trust the Secret Service, but really, the FBI? Yeah, well, just a hey, howdy. Tell us more about these bullets, Mike Huckstorby. Oh, I was speaking figuratively. No, we've got the entire recording, Mike. You don't sound at all figuratively. Well, that's true, too. Dave in South Carolina. Democratic. You can tell he's full of shit. It's Democratic Party, not Democrat Party. Big tip-off. Yeah, using those Newt Gingrich phrases. They never go out of fashion among the Republic Party.
Yeah. The Republican Party. The Republic with a U, see you next Tuesday party. The last election decided by ballots and not bullets. Because if 80 million people go to the ballots and vote for Joe Biden, and maybe 65 million people go to the polls and vote for Nitwit Nero, that's proof of the conspiracy. That's the problem with conspiracy theories. The inability to prove them proves the conspiracy theory. Isn't that just delightful? It's just positively amazing how that works. Decided by ballots, not bullets. And I can't help wondering what goes on in the mind. The people who are paying attention to him are not capable of going out and using their bullets instead of ballots. But he knows his audience, and he knows he's talking to maggots. And he knows that it's been a talking point of Donald J. Trump since 2016 that if he did not win, that not winning would be the freaking proof that the election was rigged, because he had to win. Because his ego said so.
It's wanting to be the GOP nominee next year. And most of them were on the stage last week to audition for the job. But if you watched what was more a game show than a substantive debate, you realize that none of them have the gravitas of Donald Trump, and none could be as likely as tough in staring down the enemy and
gravitas? Is that what we're calling being a lard ass now?
Moving this country forward with America First policies that will once and for all finally restore our energy independence, secure our borders, stop the runaway inflation that Joe Biden has inflicted upon us,
and make America white again, Emery and Marvelline.
And stand up forcefully and effectively to foreign enemies rather than making dirty money by taking bribes and then not even paying taxes on it.
Huh? Is Mike Huckabee mainlining ivermectin?
You don't get to make illegal money dealing with China, Russia, Ukraine, and then hide that income from the government. This is an administration that wants to hire 87,000 IRS agencies to come after you.
Yes, you, Emery, you, Marvelline, sitting there in your 1972 single-wide trailer down at the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club and Trailer Court. You, they're coming for you.
But then ignore that the president and his crooked drug-addicted son are making millions off the worst and most dangerous countries on the planet.
Hey, Mike, was your son drug-addicted when he lynched a stray dog from a tree and beat it to death with a club? Was that a drug addiction problem, Mike? Were you drug-addicted when you ordered the Arkansas State Police to cover it all up and make it all go away? And it all happened at a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Baptist youth camp. Wonder what all happened at the youth camp.
And neither reporting it or paying their fair share of taxes on it. You've heard that expression. Well, here's something that won't surprise you. The media is in on it as well. They're willing and complicit partners in crime by lying about Donald Trump and simultaneously hiding Joe Biden from any accountability for his using the office of vice president as his personal business account and transportation company to jet him and family members all over the globe.
And remember, Emery and Marvelline do get out once a week, probably. They get in their aging vehicle, and they go toddling down to the First Baptist Herpetological Sanctuary and Church. And they prattle and cackle and gabble about what they all done heard that good Christian Mike Huckster be talking about. And then when it comes time for him to sit down in the pews, there's the gospel sharp up there at the podium a lecturing on the same thing. Because it's who they are and how they are. And they're utterly and completely and totally disconnected from reality. And they might be your next-door neighbor. That's the thing. They might be your next-door neighbor. Or you might be standing in line behind them trying to check out your groceries down to the Publix. Or the Safeway. Or they might be across the aisle from you when you're pumping your gasoline. And make no mistake, they will eventually tell you who they are because they start the conversations. No, I haven't. Larry asks, have you seen Mike Huckabee hawking over-the-counter sleeping pills on TV? Like he uses that shit, LOL. He gets the good stuff that us stiffs can't get prescribed anymore. Yeah. The good old days of barbiturates. I'm kidding.
To collect checks from foreign government-tied businesses. We hope and pray that as the unmistakable facts continue to dribble out about the corruption,
dribble out,
corrupt media,
hit those verbs,
finally
Mike,
grow a backbone and a brain, and that even some Democrat lawmakers will have all
Democrat lawmakers, some
they can stomach of this disgusting abuse of power.
Most of this, in case you didn't notice, most of this is just retread. Going whackada, whackada, whackada about 70 miles an hour down the highway. If you take Joe Biden out of all of this and you replace it with Bill Clinton, it's the same shtick. But the thing is, the same shtick keeps shticking with the Emerys and Marvelines. Because by God, those were their salad days back in 1998 when you couldn't turn on the TV without hearing some congress critter creep talking about how he knows that Hillary killed Vince Foster because he blew away a watermelon with a 9mm pistol in his backyard. Or Ann Coulter prattling on about how Bill and Hillary decorate their White House Christmas tree, their private Christmas tree, with used condoms. They really are one-trick ponies, y'all. And it really is gross.
If these things didn't affect you, maybe you could afford to keep quiet. But it is affecting you.
Get on your social media. Start screaming at your neighbors and your family members who are probably already worried about what they're going to do when Thanksgiving and Christmas come around and you get too far into the eggnog and away you go. Well, I was listening to that godly man, Mike Huckabee.
Due to Bidenomics, which is high inflation and reduced wages, the
average 3%
American
inflation
is losing $700 per month from what they had before Joe Biden entered the White House. $700 a month in lost purchasing power.
And you know how he knows that? Because he gets the messages telling him that through the fillings in his fucking teeth. That's how he knows. This is an old gospel, Sharp. Tigers never change their stripes, and neither do skunks.
Folks, add that up. That's $8,400 per year that you've lost. I'm pretty sure that you...
Shit! Mike Huckstervie's grifted at more than $8,400 a month out of little old lady's Social Security checks since God was a baby. Please.
You could use $8,400 this year that the government has taken from you.
Yeah, you could send it to Trinity Broadcasting Network. Sure, why not?
In their incompetent mismanagement of the economy. Next year, hey, you can do something about it. You can vote these folks out of office, and you can make noise about what they're doing to our country. Or, it's your choice, you can stay silent, sleep through it, and kiss your money.
With the sleeping pills you buy from his infomercials. Sure, thanks for that, Larry.
And your country, goodbye. I prefer to stand up, speak up, and vote out every politician from either party who refuses to uphold the Constitution, serve the people fairly and evenly, and who seeks to profit from foreign, dirty money.
Oh, he's got a live audience, and they clap. Clap, you idiots. Or you're not getting the free baked bean dinner and weenies that we promised you. Clap! So, where is it? Is Trinity Broadcasting Network still in Tennistan? So, Mike Huckstervie's moved from New York City to Tennistan? Is that how this works? Yeah, I know. Emilio says he does have a point, Mike Huckabuck. I can't go more than 5 minutes in public without having Joe Biden slap things out of my hand and sanctimoniously raise the price of my item with a Sharpie. Jesus, I hate it when that happens. The last election, and remember, the whole basis of that assertion was that if he's banned from the ballot, 2024 will be the last election decided by ballots rather than bullets. God, if the federal government's that powerful, if Joe Biden is that nefarious and that powerful, if Merrick Garland is that evil, could you send some guys around to Mike Huckstervie's in the middle of the night and just spend some time with him with some jumper cables and his feet in the water and maybe a diehard battery or three? No, I mean, did nothing permanent. Don't do anything that'll leave a mark or anything. Just, you know, maybe he'll want to stop lotting. No, kidding. Shut up, Agent Fred. It's a joke. They talk about all these awful things. Oh, they're going to come for your trailer. And nothing ever happens. But this being prayer meeting Wednesday and everything, and the deacons are moving slow. They went through that strawberry shortcake trifle like nobody's business. But we're even up to now if we can just keep things going. You know, 10 at 30, 30 at 10, whatever. Yeah. It would be helpful. And by the way, this is reality is beggaring fiction. Trump wants to debate Meghan Markle. Great googly moogly. Ralph's is offering up a $25 challenge for Nitwit Nero wanting to debate Meghan Markle? Well, that makes my liver quiver, Ralphs. Randy Radar says, I'm still waiting for my $4,000 from the Trump administration. Oh, Randy. You might want to get a hobby for a while you continue to win. Yeah, crocheting's nice. Quilting will really make the time blow by. No, really. Nitwit Nero apparently had a confab with Hugh Hewitt. Love that guy's name.
Hugh Hewitt.
You don't need to say it twice, Robin. And he wants... No, he wants to debate Meghan Markle. You know, 'cause he's upset with how they treated the queen. Poor Hugh Hewitt. Well, almost poor Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for the challenge, Ralphs. That could get us down to 250 to go if somebody wants to kick in $25. Thank you. Yeah, that
black woman needs a lesson in manners.
I wish I was kidding. Unfortunately, I am not.
90 million people. And the only thing I think that might draw an audience that even approaches that would be if you were to sit down with the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, and Prince Harry. They don't like you much. Would you do that for the ratings?
Well, I don't know that they don't like me. I said that I don't think they're very appropriate, what they're saying, what they're doing. And I didn't like the way she dealt with the Queen. I became very friendly with the Queen. She was an incredible woman. At 95, she was so sharp. She was 100%. When you watch Biden, you say, this is a different planet. But they treated her with great disrespect, and I didn't like it. And I didn't like the idea that they were getting U.S. security when they came over here. Now, I think it's not a good situation going on with the two of them, but I didn't know that they don't like me. Somebody mentioned it might be so possible. They wouldn't be the only ones.
But, I mean, that would get ratings, wouldn't it?
Oh, if you want to set it up, let's set it up. Let's go do something. I'd love to debate her.
I'd love to debate her.
All right, now let's get serious.
I disagree so much with what they're doing.
I just disagree so much.
But meanwhile, he's way too busy, as Midas Touch Network points out. He's way too busy with his campaign to stand trial. And he's going to be way too busy to stand trial until... You know, the sun burns out. These people. And by the way, there was an interesting exchange with Ellie Honig, a former federal prosecutor on CNN this morning, addressing something that we have already talked about on this program, but it's nice to have the validation and the confirmation. Yeah, you know, why can't anybody do anything about Nitwit Nero threatening the prosecuting attorneys, whether they be Alvin Bragg, Jack Smith, or Fannie Willis? Well, they can't. He can't threaten witnesses. He can't threaten co-defendants, but, well, he can... Listen to Ellie Honig.
Official statements that threatened to prejudice the jury pool. Joining us now to discuss is CNN senior legal analyst Ellie Honig and former U.S. Attorney for the Middle District of Georgia, Michael Moore. Ellie, I want to start with you on the federal side of things. What we've seen from prosecutors, it echoes a little bit what they were doing at the start of the case. What does it mean? And will it have any teeth or substance here?
Well, so in going to the judge to try to put a clamp on Donald Trump, so a lot of this is under seal, which means they're doing a lot of it behind the scenes. So we don't know exactly what they're asking. But what seems to me is they're trying to find some workable middle ground because Donald Trump is taking to social media daily and making aggressive, perhaps over-the-line pronouncements. I think prosecutors understand they can't do nothing. They can't sit idly by, let this happen without asking the judge to do something. I think prosecutors also probably understand they can't ask to lock up Donald Trump, just given the reality that he's running for president, fair or not. Special treatment, which it would be, I think they have to be aware of that reality. So my best estimate here is they're asking the judge to take some sort of middle ground. I will say one thing judges can do is they can impose financial penalties. If a defendant is violating an order of a court, then a judge can say, you're in contempt and I'm going to fine you a certain amount each day. That may be, but they need some middle ground. They need to do something here.
Michael, to the Georgia.
Yeah, they need to do something. But what's the something that... Because, what you know, he'll always push the envelope. He will always run right up to the line because he's getting advice on where the line is. And someone is on the stress line, and I'm doing their post-haste. But just one of those little, you know, there's a signpost up ahead. One of those little moments. Tip City School Board President Simon Patry he quit his job after the school board meeting yesterday there in Ohio. The Tippecanoe Board of Education, you know, Tippecanoe and Tyler too. And Patry got into it with a woman by the name of Ann Zakur, another member of the board. And Patry had the floor. I don't even know his politics. And they were discussing transparency in school board projects. And this Ann Zakur creature decided to interrupt and interject and speak out of turn. Simon Patry said, "We've been talking to the community, to the board. There's been regular reports." And then looked at Ann Zakur and said, "I'm talking. Do not interrupt me. Do not make any noises or I will not tolerate it." At that point, Ann Zakur gave him a stiff-arm Nazi salute and said, "Sieg Heil." Trying to dig herself out of the hole, Ann Zakur said, "Mr. Patry has been acting like a dictator on our board for years, and last night I had enough of his demands of total obedience. My reaction last night was symbolic and a sarcastic gesture of submission to a board officer acting as a dictator. Enough is enough." Apparently, cranky old Ann Zakur has at no point in time figured out that giving the Nazi salute in a school board meeting, a board of which she is a member, is not okay. No word on whether there will be any sort of disciplinary proceedings against her. Apparently, following basic rules of order is, and insisting upon the same, is dictatorial conduct. But hey, you know, this isn't earth-shattering. This is just the Nazism that bubbles under the surface all over this country and has more of a foothold than most Americans even dare to ponder. Sieg Heil. Right. Okay, let's go over to the stress line, see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Where do I begin, Bill?
Hey, Dave.
I mean, you've got youth minister in Georgia. You got grifting ex-governor in what I believe is South Bend, Indiana. That's where Trinity Broadcasting was headquartered out of for years, and I think they're still there.
Okay, I thought it was outside Nash Vegas at the former Twitty City, but I'm wrong.
No. You would think that. You would think that because of all the put upon grifters from the old Confederacy that appear on there. But when they started Trinity Broadcasting, those idiots ended up going all over the state of Indiana filming and making their Christian films. They even intruded into the liberal blue dot in Indiana known as Bloomington. I even saw one of those white shoot assholes on the main drag in Bloomington when I lived there. I had to go home immediately and take a shower, make sure I washed my eyes out. That way I didn't have any infection or anything. But
you want to do that?
Well, especially when you're dealing with the unholy rollers, you know, the ones who just love to tell everybody else what to do, but they don't recognize you if you run into them at the liquor store. Yeah. The thing is, considering the former governor, and I believe he's the daddy of the current governor of Arkansas.
Yes, he is.
No. Now, if you look at it in a certain light, Robin, you said that this idiot in Georgia wanted to be a director. Can you imagine him doing campaign spots for Jethreen Bodine? Now, Jethreen, look in the camera. No, honey, don't look.
Look with both of them.
Yeah. Not that I would ever make fun of somebody's.
But the fact of the matter is, Dave, you could point two cameras at her and have her do her own split screen.
Or,
sorry.
You know, or have her, if she does get a divorce, hook her up with the Geico Gecko, because she can look in two directions at the same time, too.
I think
it'd be a perfect dating situation. Of course, now, Mikey being a good God-fearing Baptist minister would decry her dating outside of her species. But I didn't hear him complain when he...
Wait, hold on. You can't just do that. Dating what? Dating outside her species?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Okay.
Well, I had to give you a welcome home present, didn't I?
Well, thank you.
No, Christine was worried, and I told her, I said, she's probably come to see Boss Man Wayne and check and make sure he's okay. And it made a lot of sense when you were explaining, because, you know, what one of us doesn't need a day to clear our heads every so often. And that's one of the reasons we love and support you, Robin.
Well, thank you, Dave.
We know how hard you work, and Christine's got something in the works. I've been sworn to secrecy, but I have to get over there and help her with her PayPal, and because she wants to set up a monthly donation, but we're discussing how that's going to work for her. She can't handle her email very well. So I may have to go over and help her set that up. But she was worried about you, and I told her, I said, well, Robin's probably, you know, busy.
No, I didn't mean to upset anybody or scare anybody. It's just
I don't want to lie
and just, you know, because I really wasn't. It's not like I finally went out to the lake and worked on my freckles. I mean, I was just
when you weren't on the air yesterday. That's when she. I told her, I said, Robin wasn't on the air tonight. She goes, that's 2 days in a row. That's not like her. I said, yes, something's going on. I said, she'll probably be on Wednesday, you know, tomorrow. So there you are. So I'll be able to call her back and let her know you're okay. So
good. Thank you.
But why do people give money to these grifters? I guess they're trained from the time they're teeny tiny little.
Well, you have to understand the people who are giving the grifters money. You know, if you buy a sleep aid herbal supplement nutrition preparation from a former Baptist minister in Arkansas. Yeah, honey, sheep were meant to be shorn. I mean, and that's how they look at it. They know it's garbage. They wouldn't take it on a damn dare. One of the most hilarious videos out there is the one time that somebody interviewing Alex Jones actually made him taste his own paleo chocolate chicken bone beverage.
Oh, no, that'd be worth money to see.
And he turned every color from purple to green. And then when he finally managed to swallow it, said, oh, that's great. Love it. Drink it all the time. Climb.
Lying sack of shit. I guess that's why he's into a lot of people for a little over $1 billion. But, you know, even the threat of bankruptcy doesn't harm these people. And there's got to be something with Trump raising all this money on his social media for the donations to his campaign, and then those are getting shifted over to defend him in court. There's got to be something illegal about that. I mean,
you wish, but
I've been hearing.
We kind of went over that with Flavio on Friday. There isn't. The laws are very lax and very loose. You know, unless you're actually physically hurting somebody, like the father-son team in Florida who were selling an autism cure that was basically bleach that was doing harm to people. Nah, I mean, if it's a placebo capsule that they claim will put you to sleep.
I was talking about the campaign contributions that the Queen's Quisling has been.
I put that idea forward last week that you know, the ill-gotten gains from a RICO scam are subject to a motion to forfeit.
Yeah, and then just about pay for the prosecution.
Yeah. I mean, to the extent this shit happened at Mar-a-Lago, at Bedmonster, at his tacky penthouse in New York, all of it is conceivably subject to forfeiture.
So he's spending it now on his lawyers so that it's not available for seizure. Kind of like when the Catholic Church in Los Angeles transferred $96 million to the funds for covering their graveyards in the Archdiocese of L.A. To avoid judgments from people who were suing the Archdiocese for covering up sexual abuse scandals and shuffling priests around. It's a huge grift.
Sure it is.
And I asked...
It's been working for 1,700 years.
Well, why mess with a grift that works? Oh, you're going to hell if you don't give us money.
It's a powerful tool.
I would love to get on that Trinity Broadcasting program, look over at Mike Huckabee and say, well, Mike, that's awfully Catholic of you. And watch him turn, you know, do a whole standard bit, you know, where he rises up in the air, his head spins around, and then it explodes. Yeah, that'd be fun. I think they could get quite a few cryptid donations out of it, too.
Very likely.
What do you think, Rick?
Yeah.
You think I can get like a 10% cut?
I'd ought to be good for 10.
Maybe I can ask for 5. Get that. But, Trinity Broadcasting was in South Bend, Indiana, which I find ironic. Because South Bend is the home of Notre Dame, and that being a institution of higher learning run by the Jesuits, I find it rather interesting that the Trinity Broadcasting grift is right there, right along with them. And evidently they're living peacefully together. And they wonder why I never get to religious organizations.
Yeah.
But I heard the vice president was being interviewed by somebody, and she just asked the question, if something were to happen to Joe Biden, would you be ready? And she observed, rightfully, I believe, she said it's the responsibility of every vice president to be ready to step into that role if necessary. But then
I mean, that's the right answer.
But she said, that's not going to happen to Joe Biden. And the man is fairly healthy. Unlike certain orange guys in makeup, I mean, let's face it, he believes in the foundation of America. We just don't know what brand of foundation he's using. But he can't string two words together without sounding like an idiot.
No, he
can't. You know, they're going, well, Joe Biden's too old. But why? Trump's like a year and a half younger. That year and a half is going to make a hell of a lot of difference. I guarantee you that everything they're saying, oh, Joe Biden's involved in this, that, and the other. Mikey, well, let's look at the Republican Party, shall we? And shall we look at your books when you were governor of Arkansas? I'm sure there were a couple of barbecues you went to where there were envelopes exchanged, you know, honoraria.
Yeah, love. Well, it's interesting you bring that up. Because once upon a time, Dave. No, this before anybody starts, this has nothing to do with ancient Rome. So shut up. I love you. Once upon a time, there was a guy, and he was the first governor, the first Republican governor of Alabama in 100 years. And his name was Guy Hunt. And he was from Holly Pond, Alabama, which is down near Cullman. Sorry, I just slipped right into the accent. And he was a minister of the gospel, Guy Hunt. And while he was busy governoring, he was also continuing to run his gospel hustle. And so he saw, it's like 30, 40 years ago, shades of, or foreshadowing of Clarence Thomas. He would take, because Alabama has one, the state jet and use it to fly to tent meetings where he would preach. Wouldn't talk politics. He'd just preach and pass the plate. And for the life of all involved, they could not explain to Guy Hunt that that was political graft and corruption. And beyond that, federally indictable. And so Guy Hunt... Guy Hunt got indicted. Guy Hunt got sent to prison. It was a simpler time. And my next door neighbor, a lovely old lady, who was sharp as a tack till the day she died, what a cook she was! And she cooked. I joke about the little old blue haired ladies and little old blue haired men and little old blue haired non binaries in the Fellowship Hall kitchen.
But she was definitely one of those little blue haired old ladies.
And I mean, she would not step outside her door without a full face of makeup on. But she cooked in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, and that was the draw. Whatever she baked for dessert was going to be heaven. Whatever she cooked as an entree, good Lord, her Jell-O salads were for the ages, Dave.
Well, I think you told me something about the Mississippi mud cake.
Oh, her Mississippi mud cake would leave you weeping. All those tiny melted marshmallows inside and just ooey and gooey with fudge and had that crispy kind of brownie-like crust on the top.
Oh, yes. Girl, I'm gaining 10 pounds just thinking about it.
I'm just going to have to keep a few rails of Metformin's lined out back here just talking about this stuff. She raised a garden.
Right, well, it's not doing my blood sugar any good.
Yeah, I think she raised a garden up into her 90s.
That reminds me of my neighbor.
Well, she was ours.
She lives in my neighbor's mother is 92 years old. And she lives in a small farming town named Struckup, Pennsylvania. And he was telling me that the members of his mother's church are so old, the minister who's in his mid-50s is the youngster in the group.
Yeah, and she she was just a force of nature, and was on. I mean, when she said she had a personal relationship with Jesus H. Christ, it was the truth, and I'm not sure who was saving who. I think Jesus probably asked her more questions than she did him. And she was the one who always taught. Yeah. She's the one who taught me. Now, when I always like to plant them Roma green beans, because they're flat and you ain't got to string them, and they got more substance to them than a half runner. And I do despise stringing half runners. And she was right. All her green beans, you know, and like any good Southern lady cook, she would sugar them green beans. Good Lord in heaven, she'd put a little sugar in everything. Yeah, her cornbread was halfway to cake. It was so good. Oh my God, it was so good. But the whole body, the whole reason for all of this story, I loved her dearly. When I was tiny and I'd be coming home from school, like first grade, she'd be waiting for me at the backyard with a stick of grape chewing gum. And it just...
Oh, and I bet her cellar was full of ball jars.
Oh, she... I mean, and she'd garden her whole backyard. And a weed did not dare poke its head up between her rows. Because I swear she could hear them poking through the ground, and she'd be out there with a razor-sharp hoe and on them like a duck on a June bug.
She sounds like my old neighbor.
But the whole point, the whole point of this is that when they indicted Guy Hunt, she was just so happy to finally have a good God-fearing minister of the gospel and a Baptist, not an Anabaptist, and a Baptist in the governor's mansion down there in Montgomery. Maybe finally we can turn our faces back to Jesus. And
well,
she could not.
Sure
and
she, in the
well, you know, I mean, that's like the deacon that walked in one evening during fellowship dinner and said, "Well, we're having this little Methodist rain out there." And one of the other deacons said, "Yeah, what do you mean?" He said, "Just a sprinkle." Because, you know, we were full immersion Baptists, don't you know?
Yeah, I get the joke.
But she couldn't. Why are they persecuting that man of God? The state of Alabama is grateful to have him using our jet to fly around and win souls for Jesus Christ. And that woman who had voted Democrat all her life up into her 80s suddenly became a rock-ribbed Republican and was ever so proud when our church, we were from the same church, when our Southern Baptist Church paid $20,000 to Oliver North to come and give his testimony of how he done give his life to Jesus Christ. Just to keep my mother from being sad, I did not pull my letter. And for those not familiar with Southern Baptist dogma and theology, one's letter is one's letter of salvation and membership in a given congregation.
Oh, no, see, I didn't know that.
And Mama said, "Well, where are you going to put it? You don't go to church up there." I said, "I don't know, Mom. Safety deposit box? I mean, God will look after it." Don't be sacrilegious, Robin. But my letter, mm-hmm. my letter remains there to this day. You know, and like Bill Murray said in Caddyshack, so I got that going for me, which is good. Big hitter, the Lama.
I just think that...
I'm so sorry. Hold on. Let me just apologize. I apologize for that entire digression, but it is prayer meeting Wednesday. And those are just the little moments that, you know, bang around in the electrical impulses that happen in between the synapses and just jump around and time traveled there for a minute. I apologize for doing that on your dime, Dave.
Oh, don't worry about it. I've got a flat rate on my calling plan, so You're not costing me another dime. Not one. But
God no, almighty, I got the worst hankering for some cornbread right now.
Woo! Yeah, I'm considering running out and getting the fixings for a Mississippi mud cake. I haven't had one in 35 years.
Well, I mean, there are those who would argue that you're due.
Probably. But that's the kind of dessert you got to share with folks.
Yeah, and pecans. Pecans are better in Mississippi mud cake than walnuts. Pecans.
Oh, yes.
God knows not all.
As my Aunt Diane would tell you, I believe she's originally from Tennessee, and her mother taught her to bake a pecan pie.
Oh.
And we've had pecan pies in my family before. My grandmother was the mother of 13 children. That woman knew anything. She's how to cook. But let me tell you, Robin, my Aunt Diane's pecan pie looked differently. It was darker. It was sweeter. This is the kind of thing that people would kill each other over.
Yeah, it was the kind of Cairo syrup that she was using. She wasn't using the clear stuff.
I bet you that is what she did. I've never asked her. But she, you know, people were like, well, do you want grandma's pecan pie or do you want Aunt Diane's pecan pie? Every year since I knew the difference, it was Aunt Diane's. I love my grandma, but it was definitely Aunt Diane's. And food is a big thing because when we'd have a family wedding, Aunt Diane and my mom and a few of the other women in the family would fix everything. I mean, all the food for, you know, 300 guests. And you know, after the divorce, my mother became a lunch lady. And it just so happened that if we had Salisbury steak stew, and they called it beef stew, but it's a little Salisbury steak patty and vegetables, she'd bring a bucket of that home, and then later on that weekend, she'd dress it up a little bit, and we'd have it for lunch. Or for dinner, because my dad wasn't paying child support. You know, and he learned his kids to keep a mouth shut. But mom would always make something that we really liked, which was Frito pie.
Oh, God, yes.
Where you take Fritos and you take the thick chili. Usually she'd get Hormel out of a can. But she would dress that up just a little bit, put a little cheese, a little onions on it. And Robin, we thought we were eating high on the hog. And it was just because she couldn't afford to make anything else.
Let me tell you, since we've long said, there's David in South Carolina, Sam, and in South Carolina, and a tomato sandwich. Like to add fresh garden grown tomato sandwich to that menu. Yes, David, yes. And we'll stay away from the Miracle Whip controversy, but yeah, with the spread of your choice. But I wanted to throw something out there because, you know, you're in Tallahassee, so Kroger's is not a lost cause for you. They have a Kroger brand white bean chicken chili in the, you know, the Kroger store brand.
They do?
Yes, they do. And oh my mercy sakes alive, as this canned chili goes, it's real good. and get it nice and hot and put a dollop of sour
cream. I've never had white chili.
Oh, back when Diogi's was a going concern here in Fayetteville, my dear, dear friend Oscar, a Salvadoran, a genius of a chef, he works down in Charleston now, and people line up around the block for his cooking. But he just routine, and his restaurant was called Diogi's, and he just kept a pot of that white bean chicken chili on the back burner at all times. And his was the best there is, but this stuff out of the can is not shabby. And like I said, a dollop of sour cream and some of that wonderful crumbly Mexican cheese that comes in a round.
Oh, the queso fresco.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm quite familiar with it. It's an easy get here in Indianapolis.
Oh, it's so good.
Because there's a large Mexican population here in town.
Really? A whole bunch of large Mexicans there in Taliban, Indianapolis, are there?
So well,
I'm going to give myself a gunner for that. I'm going to give myself a gunner for that.
We got them in all sizes. As a matter of fact, I lived on a block where it was mostly Mexican families for a while. And my white friends would be kind of leery. And I'd be sitting out on the porch. And they'd go, well, aren't you afraid living down in here? I'm like, no, actually, I feel safer here than I do anywhere else in town. I said, because my neighbors check on me. They make sure I'm okay. They make sure I have things. I get invited over to their houses for coffee and bread. And believe me, that is a thing. There's a
good thing.
A freshly baked breads. We're talking cinnamon breads. We're talking fresh baked wheat loaves, we're talking with fresh butter and jam. And my friend Jorge was explaining to me that in Mexico, that's considered good manners. If you invite a neighbor in, you offer them coffee and some fresh bread. And believe me, Robin, some of the fresh breads I've eaten in the year and a half I lived down there, oh, my God. And they love cinnamon in their coffee. I heard of Mexican-style cocoa, which has cinnamon in it.
Of course, yes.
They put cinnamon in instant coffee.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And then brew it up. And that is a treat worth having. If you're going to increase your blood pressure, you might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I'm still decaffeinated, but I wanted to mention something because
you could do the same thing with decaffeinated.
Oh yes, and have. You know, I make a cafe mocha with our Nespresso machine. I put the little decaf capsule in, make a couple of shots of that. Pour it into my little coffee thermos with ice, and then whirl up some Fairlife chocolate milk and put that in for the latte. Oh, yeah, and sometimes a little cinnamon. And
so you get a little bit of the mocha going.
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Got it.
But I did want to, not exactly breaking news, but everybody here knows that one of my favorite places in town was the Secret Sandwich Society. And in November of 2020, already 2 or 3 months into transition, I fired up the smoker. And I love those folks. They work so hard. And I put on a shift meal for them. Pulled pork, brisket, Kaneka sausage, the works. And they just loved it. And then two weeks later, in gratitude, my friend Lewis, who has been on this program, by the way, gave me a Secret Sandwich Society hoodie. And every trans girl early in her transition needs a black hoodie. And so that is a cherished possession of mine, because 2 weeks later, it all burned up.
So you became Robin Kincaid Fashion Plate.
Oh, I love my secret hoodie. And I still have a hat that Oscar gave me from Diogi's.
Now, are they back opened up?
Well, that's what I'm getting to, Dave. There is reason to believe that the risen from the ashes phoenix that is the Secret Sandwich Society will be back open, hopefully, before the close of golly season, which is the third Saturday in October. And so, yes, again, thank God, I will finally have my freshly cut and fried fries with the warm pimento cheese sauce over it, and I will be, and then with winter coming on, I'll be able to just go in and buy a pint of the pimento cheese sauce and put it in my grits, and I'll be a very happy girl.
See, what people don't understand is with having diabetes, it's not. You have to really think about the quality of the food you're putting in your body.
Yeah, I get mad at myself if I trash panda. Why did you eat that? That was just garbage.
If I want to pig out on a bag of chips, I feel like crap. But if I slice the potatoes up and I give them a light fry with a little dusting of seasoning, then I don't feel so bad.
See, I'm going to pop up out of bed in the morning and do a batch of sausage gravy. My sausage gravy, not that runny shit from Tudor's Biscuit World. No, hell no. I'm going to make my sausage gravy.
No Tennessee Pride sausage in the middle of your gravy.
No, this is the stuff they grind up at the Wiggling Pig fresh.
Okay.
And it's...
So you're getting the good quality stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll do what I always do. Brown the sausage. Use a slotted spoon. Pull it out. Put it on a paper towel. Set it aside. Take that remaining sausage grease. Make a roux with the flour. And then work in the... Before that, saute onions in the grease. And then put in the flour and make the roux. Add the milk. Bring it together, simmer it till it gets nice and thick and beautiful. Put the sausage back in, and that's usually just as the biscuits are coming out.
I wonder how long it would take for me to get from Indianapolis to West Virginia by wheelchair. I push it.
I will get you through the entire. I mean, that's the entire process right there. But you know, the fun part is how you season it. Add some sage. Add a few red pepper flakes. Add black pepper. What have you? You know, whatever turns your taste buds on.
You're making me hungry.
And then the biscuits. Oh, the biscuits. Now, one of my friends on Facebook got after me the other day because I put up a picture of those new potatoes simmered in buttermilk dill cream sauce. And it's so good. Oh, that cream sauce.
You know, you're going to turn into one of those little blue-haired old ladies.
I think I already
one
am,
of these days.
And
I don't like to call a lady old, but you know. Kind of rude.
But she's down in Alabama, and we share a common love of buttermilk. And she got mad at... She got mad at, you know, not that thin, fat-free stuff. No, hell no. 4%.
No, this is the whole buttermilk.
Yeah, 4%. I'm going to get me a swig when I'm off the air. Yes, I am. But she said, you got a lot of nerve putting that up there when you still haven't come through with the buttermilk with the buttermilk blue cheese biscuit that you promised. Because those are so good. You make your you make your biscuit dough and you kind of knife or fork or dough knife in some blue cheese with your flour mixture before you get it wet, and then you hit it with the buttermilk. Don't work it too hard. Put it out, roll it, boom, bake it. A buttermilk blue cheese biscuit is a thing. If you're into blue cheese. Now, there are a lot of, there probably, to the extent that there's still an audience out there, that the community is still there and we haven't lost them in all the food porn, some people get put off by the strength of blue cheese. I am not one of those people. It's kind of like when it's kind of like when John Cleese, Monty Python, in the cheese shop skits is
when I lived
the camembert. Oh, it's a bit runny, sir. I don't care how fucking runny it is. Bring on the fromage de la Belle France. Oh, I'm sorry, the cat's eating it.
There was a place down in Bloomington when I lived down there. I don't know if it's still there. I hope it is. They had a seafood pizza that had an Alfredo sauce base, mozzarella, Parmesan, and Gouda. I'm not Gouda, but Gorgonzola.
Yeah.
And they would put clumps of Gorgonzola, and believe me, those three cheeses melting over scallops, crab, and shrimp on a thin crust pizza ramen. Girl, you'd forget yourself and smack your own mama.
That sounds heavenly.
That's how good it is. I swear you'd forget yourself and smack your mama. They had these flyers up around town, and one of them said, "Are you upset that your neighbors are having a threesome? Order from Avery's." And then it had the special. And I'm thinking, well, that sure as hell caught the eye. But yeah, they had a pizza that was just amazing. And it was expensive, even for when I was a college student. But it was just the Gorgonzola and the mozzarella and the Parmesan on it, and it was just baked to perfection.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, Gorgonzola, a Danish blue, a French Roquefort, what's the English version? Stilton. Are all basically the same cheese with slightly different flavor profiles. But again, across the river at, because this is tourism pitch night, I guess, too. That unpaid product placement, y'all. Pies and Pints, which is a really good pizza place. It's touristy, and you can't get near the place during tourist season now that we're a national park. But their wings are really good, and they serve it with a creamy Gorgonzola dressing. Get out of town.
Oh. Yeah,
I would eat that stuff with a spoon.
I grew up with Roquefort dressing, and I thought for years that was the only type of blue cheese. Until I got introduced to Gorgonzola and had it with a strip steak, what they called the black and blue.
And oh, God, I love that, yeah.
It just oh, you got a bite of the medium rare beef and the gorgonzola at the same time. And it was just, oh my God, it was beautiful stuff. And you could order it with, linguine.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Well, Robin, now that I've made myself so damn hungry, I got to get off here.
You haven't done me any favors either, Dave.
Well, at least we didn't ruin anybody's snack.
No, we actually fostered curiosity because I got a question here I have to answer.
Okay.
But I will do that after you disconnect. But listen, you have a wonderful evening. Look for that Kroger's white bean chicken chili. Tell Christine we send our love.
I'm going to check that out.
So good.
I will tell her because she'll feel a lot better.
And with autumn heading toward us, I guess it's going to be time to make my first ever Scott Marinoff Memorial Pot of Senate Navy Bean Soup entirely in his honor. Because that's
well,
so
you
good.
Know, I have a. I have my favorite coffee mug, which I've named after. Made that into my Scott's Memorial coffee mug because I drink instant coffee as well. So when I drink from that mug, I think
well then maybe next call you need to have a cup of coffee and you need to stir it and ding the spoon against the mug from time to time and.
Stir it well, and then we'll know that Scott is listening in.
Yeah, and it'll drive certain members of the Horn Family Community congregation right up a tree. Tell Scott to stop stirring his damn coffee.
Well, Robin, now this could be part of a fundraising thing. Dave will stop stirring his coffee with the metal spoon. Over the air, if you meet the $25 challenge or something like that, Republicans aren't the only ones that can come up with ideas, crazy ideas for raising cash.
No, not at all. So, Dave, have a good evening.
You too.
All right, see ya.
Take care.
Go get a snack. Bye. Make it a good one. Our buddy Dave and the Blind. And from Dave and the Blind to Dave number 11, like I said, a question. Explain buttermilk. I tried to explain buttermilk to a lady from the Czech Republic. Her daughter finally said it was kefir, but it isn't. Where does full-fat buttermilk come from? Okay, I'll not be an asshole and say from really fat cows. sorry. It is definitely not kefir. Kefir is more closely akin to yogurt than anything else. It is probiotically fermented with something like kefir seeds. I don't know. I've never seen a kefir seed. Buttermilk is literally buttermilk because it is a part of the butter-making process. We kind of talked about this the other night. Milk has to clabber before you can make butter from it. Because the process of making butter is basically removing all the fat from milk, pouring off what's left, and then churning that full fat clabbered cream until it solidifies, and then salting it or not to wind up with that, but you know, it's interesting. You knew I'd do this sooner or later. When the Romans moved, at this point, it's getting intentional. I'm so glad to be back, y'all. Those 2 days away were necessary, but I kind of recharged. So, yeah, we had to do some ancient Rome here somewhere along the way, didn't we? When the Romans moved into Europe, Western Europe, and encountered people like Gauls and Germans, The whole of Gaul is divided into three parts, y'all. Never mind. Well, the Greeks and the Romans and the Mediterranean cultures were all about their olive oil. And they totally... Butter? Two things were kind of foreign to them. Butter and beer. And at first they didn't care much for either one. But they grew to be fond of it. You know, the Indian milk fat preparation, ghee, is not to be compared with E. Gordon Ghee, who is destroying my beloved university. G-H-E-E. Is similar to butter. But buttermilk is a whole full-fat milk that has soured, but not in the process of, like, soured milk. It's a different process. Basically, at least in the grocery store here, you've got non-fat buttermilk and full-fat buttermilk. And if you want things to be silky and rich, you use the full fat. And, sorry, digression. Cold cornbread with some butter dipped or crumbled into buttermilk, ice-cold buttermilk, is a little bowl of heaven. But people get really... Ugh, buttermilk! Ugh. Buttermilk is a part of the butter-making process, Dave number 11, whereas kefir is more of the, you know, like the... You're absolutely right. They are definitely not the same thing. There's a certain amount of fermentation that goes on. You know, buttermilk has live and active cultures, just like yogurt does. And I'm not sure, but they may be different cultures. But also, the process for making yogurt is a low and slow heating process. Yogurt is basically a gel, whereas buttermilk is entirely a liquid. And like, well, okay, skim milk is milk that has had all the fat removed from it. That's why it kind of has that blue quality to it. And full-fat buttermilk is just, you know, 4%, just like full-fat milk is 4% fat. But when it starts out fresh from the cow, the fat content is higher. And buttermilk is basically a precursor to butter. And for instance, there's a famous brand of baking powder called Clabber Girl, because baking powder is an artificial fermentation substance that you use in biscuits and pancakes and like instead of yeast. It's quicker, and it's liquid activated, and you know it will clabber things. And who was it? The famous composer Hoagy Carmichael. Oh my gracious! Now we're really down the rabbit hole. Hoagy Carmichael wrote a song. Yeah, he also wrote Stardust, which is a timeless classic. And I think he's the piano player in the film version of To Have and Have Not with Humphrey Bogart and a very young introducing starlet named Lauren Bacall. And Hoagy Carmichael, it's basically a redo of Casablanca, only South Florida. It was based on the Hemingway novel, but William Faulkner was the screenwriter for it, and he pretty much just rewrote Hemingway's novel, which was actually a series of vignettes. Wow, the digressions. But Hoagy Carmichael played the role that Sam played in Casablanca. He was the house piano player in the bar. And in addition to Stardust, he wrote a song called Old Buttermilk Sky. And a buttermilk sky is a sky that is cloudy, But the cloud formations look like cloud. You know, they're flat. It's not like a big old cumulonimbus or something. They're flat, but they look like clabbered milk, buttermilk. In fact, a friend of mine posted a picture of that from down in Alabama, and I went, I'll be damned, it's a buttermilk sky. And I guess these are all terms that are fading away. I'm just glad I can still get full-fat buttermilk. And the same folks that make the wonderful butter I've been buying from Greenbrier Dairy are moving into yogurt, and hopefully they're moving into buttermilk. I would love to have some really, really super fresh buttermilk. Thanks for the question, Dave Number 11. Yeah, it's not kefir. Signed, Dave Number 11, sole dealer of Henry's Olives. Yes, you are. Oh, God, those things are so good. So that's it for the evening. Like I said, I'm terribly happy to be back. Sorry it took me a couple of days to recharge. Should be smooth sailing up toward the last week of the month. I hope. God, now I'm looking forward to those sausage gravy and biscuits in the morning. Yeah, that's going to be rough on my numbers. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for the kindness of your participation. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks for getting us all the way to the 6th of the month in surprisingly, you know, up-to-speed shape. And thanks to everybody who did that. Thanks to our a la carte contributors and our challenge issuers. I hope Ralphs will keep her challenge available for tomorrow. Thank you, Ralphs. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Ralphs is going to extend her challenge. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you so much. You know who you are. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, like and subscribe, please, to the podcast, wherever you take the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Android, Google, whatever podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Republic, Podbean. Like it. Please leave a comment. Takes almost no time. You don't have to say anything profound. It just lets the algorithms know that you're there. And thereby, the algorithms let other people know that we're there. And it's wonderful when we get new friends, new members of our family, community, congregation. Tell your friends and neighbors even. Pretty special what's going on here for almost 20 years. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your flu shot. I'm already getting texted by Kroger's to come get my flu shot. Y'all, I'm not insured, okay? Watch for the boosters to come out, especially if they've got one that responds to the new variant. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots because they don't give a damn about anybody but themselves, and they don't think much of themselves either, for that matter. Sitting there doing lines of armadillo antifungal and all. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And, well, if a proud boy comes towards you down the sidewalk, babbling about how January 6th was a national embarrassment because we didn't do what we set out to do, avoid Enrique Tarrio like the plague. And he won't be coming to you down the sidewalk because he's going to the joint for at least 22 years, we hope. But avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, It's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Later.